Amen. Good morning. Man, come on up. It's cool weather should awake everybody. Do a little better than that. Good morning. Ah, thank you, thank you, thank you. We're continuing our study in the pastoral epistles. And this morning we'll be in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Once you get your place in your Bible, I want you to stick your finger there because I want you to back up just one book to 1 Thessalonians. As I was studying, preparing for the lesson, I came across something that I've never really caught before in God's Word, the teaching of His Word. In 1 Thessalonians, look at the very first chapter, very first verse. It says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a salutation, a greeting that Paul gives in every one of his letters. Probably the only one that didn't start with that salutation would be the book of Romans. So now turn back to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1. It reads, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Did you notice the difference? In the pastoral epistles, just in these three letters to the individuals, he added the word mercy. I'd never seen that before. He added that word there to emphasize the support that Timothy and Titus would need to fulfill their ministry. They were faced with some challenges in both locations, in Ephesus and also Titus in Crete. And the word was specifically added, I believe, because they were going to go through some challenging circumstances and times. And Timothy was relatively new to leadership. Now, he had been with Paul for quite a while, and Paul had used him in various and sundry ways in his ministry. But leadership in an established church was something he'd never done before, and Timothy was kind of a shy and timid person. So this was going to be a new experience for him. And then Titus was going to be working in a challenging location in Crete with a rebellious population. And so he was going to be in for a challenge too. So I think what Paul was doing right here is he was just preparing them. They needed God and his mercy in order to stand firm in the ministry that he was giving them. So think about that. Little extra. He said you need a little extra dose of mercy to go along with what the peace and the grace that God gives us. So let's look into chapter 5, starting on our outline, and we're going to see some specific things. Our outline, the first three topics are listed there at the top of your outline. And the very first one is practical obligations in ministering to others. Paul right here uses the family as a model, as an example. And he's telling Timothy to encourage him. He's writing to encourage him and to give him some instruction and guidance on how to deal with people in the ministry that he's going to, the one that's already up and running. And he tells him how to interact with people within the membership, how to interact with the people that are already there. There were some problems in the church. Paul had addressed some of them with them. But now he's giving him some instruction right here. And he says, this is how you need to interact with the people. And the first thing he has there is with the elders. He tells him in verse 1 there, he says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. And the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. So he's telling him, this is the way you need to treat the different people inside the church. And if you'll treat them as they're your family, it'll help you in your relationship with them. So he says, rebuke not, but entreat him as a father. So we're supposed to treat elderly people like us, men. Treat us like family. Treat us like the father, the head of the house. Don't treat him any different. Treat older men with the respect that they're due. And we should command that respect, but we also should live in such a way, men, that we gain that respect from other people. But he says, don't rebuke them. And then for the women, he says, how do you treat the elder women? Treat them as a mother. Treat them as if they were your mother. In every situation, if we look at, he's telling Timothy, if you'll look at this way, when you come into situations and circumstances, treat them as you would treat your mother. Then he goes and moves on to the younger. He says, the younger men, treat them as brothers. The younger women, treat them as sisters. That's a great way to look at it, and how to, even for us today, to treat each other. Treat each other as family. We are family. Brothers and sisters in Christ. That's the way we should treat the younger people. And that's the way people will treat us if we present that example to them. So he's basically just telling him right here, this is the way you need to interact with this new congregation that you're going to. Because there's going to be a lot of opportunities that you could maybe have the wrong attitude when people maybe don't trust you. Remember he told Timothy, don't despise your youth. Don't be worried about that. You present yourself as a godly example and stick to God's word, and people will respect you, no matter what your age is. This is the way he wanted to treat everyone. But then he moves on to how the lesson will be on treat widows. Look at verse 3. Go back and look at verse 3. It says, honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents. For that is good and acceptable before God. So he's telling them, he said, first he says, true widows, widows indeed. Look at verse 5, and it's going to explain basically what a widow indeed is. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. So he sets out some pretty good points and characteristics that a widow indeed should have. It's persons that are truly destitute, have no way of supporting themselves. And he's going to go on in just a minute to tell us how to do that. The basic principle is we're supposed to honor widows, true widows indeed. We're supposed to esteem them and reverence them. That's kind of the rule of thumb. That's the principle that we have there in the outline. And then the practice, how do we do that? How do we actually interact with them? He's going to show us how we interact with them as a family, how the church should interact with them. And first, looking at widows with family. The family is a primary caretaker. Verse 4, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them first show piety at home. You know, it should be family first when dealing with the widows. The family is a primary resource that should be taking care of the family, of the widow. You know, we're told that we should work if we're able to work. says, if any man not work, then he shouldn't eat. But if you're able to work and you're able to be productive in life, when it's time to take care of a widow, family-wise, you should do it. We should do it. We find instances and examples all the time of elderly people, widows, a lot of time, get put in nursing homes and things like that. Nobody ever comes to visit them. That's a sad situation. Family is responsible as a family member. It even goes to show nephews, says children or nephews, that we should take care of them. God blesses us with the opportunity to work and provide for our family. We should do that. A widow is still part of our family and should be taken care of as such. The family should be the main support, and many times it's not. There's really no excuse for that. Really no excuse. You know, a lot of times people say, hey, like school kids, raising kids, parents and everything, they say, oh, the church has a responsibility to preach and teach the right things. The school has a responsibility to teach the right things. When in fact, it's the family, it's the parents' responsibility to do that. The church and the school are a supplement to that, and that's all they should be. Well, it's the same way with widowhood. The family should be first in line to take care of a widow if it's in their immediate family. The Bible says if we don't, we're worse than an infidel. But go back to those two little words there in verse 4. Should show piety at home. It should honor. Piety is a devotion to God. We should honor the widows. And not, it's not just an internal thing. It should be outwardly. We should honor the widows. And we should love them just like we love the rest of the family. Just like they were our mother. And then it says we need to requite their parents. In other words, honor them. Benefit for benefit. And look at it this way. Who took care of me when I was a young kid? Provided my food, my clothing, did everything for me, taught me the right things. My mom did. My dad did. So they took care of that responsibility when I was small and when I was in need. Therefore, we should repay the benefit. We should take care of widows in our families. Just like our parents took care of us, we need to take care of them. They spent their life, they worked hard, they provided for us. Now it's time for us to do the same for them. And when we don't do that, I like the word infidel. We hear that a lot with some of the Eastern cults and religion and everything, the word infidel. But basically what it's talking about here is a non-believer, somebody who doesn't believe what God says, what God's word says. If we don't take care of them, that's the way we are. We're acting just like an unbeliever. And we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. The family must be the first and primary example. Then we move on to the widows in the church. What's the church's responsibility? Turn over to verse 16. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. The church has to learn to balance financial responsibilities and generosity. In other words, we have to take care of things the way they should be financially for the benefit of the church, for the growth, for the teaching and preaching. And we cannot really supply every widow's need in a church, even of this size. It comes down to the generosity of us as members, fellow members. We work, God provides. We should be willing to share that responsibility with the church by giving. Our giving should be generous. God's, what kind of giver does the Lord love? A cheerful giver. We have many opportunities to give. Many people stick to the 10% tithe. That's an offering that's required. But we should be also giving generously above the tithe as an offering. That's how we support many programs that the church has. That's how we support our missionaries. That's how we support our widows. It comes down to where our heart is. How's your heart today? Are you generously giving? Not just for the church to have the money. Church has financial responsibilities. I won't get into Ron Baldwin this morning, but he has a lot of those responsibilities as the head of deacons. And we take care of people as best we can, but it's all because of our generosity. If we're not generous with what God's given us, we're not going to be able to do that. So what are the responsibilities of the church? Go back and look at verse 9. It says, let not a widow be taken into the number under 80, having been the wife of one man. Well reported of for good works, if she brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. And as we break down those two verses there, there's some pretty stringent rules right here. I mean, these are point blank what the Bible says. Paul's telling Timothy, this is the way you have to treat the widows. You're going to be the leader of the church. She must be at least 60 years old. She must have been the wife of one husband. There's a lot of controversy, I know, on when you start using the term the wife or the husband of one wife, the wife of one. And many people say it. You take the strict rule, can never have been divorced, things like that. There's nothing a widow can remarry, that's for sure. God says that. But I think right here it's talking about being faithful to their husband. This woman is a widow, being faithful to her husband. Now, we here at Worth Baptist Church, we take the stricter. You can't be a deacon if you've been divorced. That's just the way our church leads. Now, I don't have time to get into all the different sides of that. And that's something that each person has to make up their mind with. But our church has specific rules that we set out. And right here, many say it's just that the wife has to be faithful to the one husband that she had, that she became widowed from. And then she must have a testimony of good works. In other words, she's known for good works. A person that's active in church, that's actively serving the Lord. And it goes on and lists some of those good works there. It says, brought up children, raised children. She might not have had children, but if she did she do a good job? Was she a good mother? Lodged strangers, a person that's shown to be hospitable and shown hospitality to others. Washed the saints' feet. Yeah. That means being a servant to others, not just specifically washing somebody's feet. I wouldn't wash Danny Lindsay's feet for sure. It says, relieved the afflicted. In other words, visited and ministered to those that are sick. That's part of being a godly person. And also, that's how we should treat each other as members. You know, it's hard to keep up with every member. One of the things I struggle with as I started coming in here to backfilling for Dr. Weaver is trying to learn everybody's name. I'm used to sitting in that classroom back there with about 25 or 30 young people, and I knew everything about them. But it's different. We should be, and let me tell you how good our membership is. My wife had shoulder replacement surgery a few weeks ago, and I'm going to tell you what, I think we've gotten almost 20 cards and letters from people letting them know that you're praying for her, anything we can do for them. That's what we're supposed to do as members. That's something I have to learn to do. Many of you have sent me little cards encouraging me, and I appreciate that. But that's the way our membership should be. Thankfully, our membership is. We have some giving, loving people at Worth Baptist Church. Where does it come from? It comes from leadership. It comes from Dr. Barber. Then this church, I'm telling you. So I hope you realize that. But when it comes to visiting, I tried to get a list of everybody's name and phone number and everything in here. I start to keep up with y'all, so y'all give me a little grace, okay? No, give me a lot of grace. I'm getting there. Followed every good work, doing the Lord's work. A widow indeed should be one doing the Lord's work, a person that's done the Lord's work with all their heart and soul. Specific characteristics. And we go back to verse 5. I think we need to read verse 5 again. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate. In other words, she doesn't have any way to provide for herself. It's just not there. In God. Trusting in God. She's a godly woman, widow, is still going to trust in God. She's going to have to be able to get through that period of time after she loses her mate, her spouse. And that's a tough situation. I'm so thankful we started the grievance class here at Worth Baptist Church. It's very needed. And then continueth in supplication and prayers day and night. You know what? A widow indeed is somebody who stays in communication with God. She has to be able to survive, to be able to have the strength and encouragement she needs to get along day by day. And it's a day by day thing. Losing a spouse, it's got to be one of the hardest things. I can only think of maybe losing a child would be even worse than that, but it's something we take for granted in society these days like we do a lot of other things, but it shouldn't be. It goes on from the church, widows in the church, to younger widows. This is where we get into some controversy with a lot of people. The church should refuse to support younger widows. Now, let's dig into that a little bit deeper. Look at verse 11. But the younger widows refuse. For when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give non-occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Wax wanton against Christ. The widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives, verse 6 says. Widows who need to be supported because they have no other means are widows indeed. If a widow has other means and is able to support herself through various means, maybe even going back to work or going to work, things like that, that's fine. But there are situations where younger widows, this is what he's talking about here, younger widows want to be supported just because they're a widow. And he specifically says the church should refuse to support those. Goes back to being 60 years old or above. And it goes back to whether or not you can support yourself, whether or not your family can support you. That's why it's so important that the family take care of the widows. The younger widows should be able to help take care of themselves. And if they have family, the family should do that instead of the church having to do it. That's basically what he's saying. Those who want to be supported just because they're with us, he gives some warnings right here about them turning away from their faith, getting caught up in worldliness like busybodies, tattling, speaking things out not to. And he's telling them, he said, don't get in that situation, but don't support those who don't fall under the guidelines of a widow indeed. And this is, then he says they should marry. Instead of becoming a burden on the church, they should remarry. And when he's saying they should remarry or marry, it's to prevent them from becoming the busybodies, the tattlers, and things like that. In other words, give them a reason for their life. Don't just fall into a situation where just because you're a widow, you expect the church to support you. And it says, bear children if they're able. Guide the house. In other words, manage the household. Give no occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. In other words, make sure you're not living in such a way that you'll bring reproach or shame on the church. Your testimony, our testimony speaks loudly in every form and every situation in our life. But widows, younger widows, if they're not careful and they fall away from the Lord, it can be a bad testimony for our church also. I'm going to stop right there so Keith doesn't cut me off. And we'll pick this up next week. Be sure to keep your lesson. And just remember that Paul is trying to help Timothy. He's trying to prepare him for things he's going to be facing, situations that are going to arise in the church. And he wants him to be able to handle whatever comes his way. And that's why he's giving him these guidelines and these characteristics on what he's going to face. And we'll talk about the elders, their responsibility next week. Father, we thank you once again for giving us your word, giving us the examples in your word. Give us, as Paul has given Timothy here, guidance. We can take a lot of this to heart today, no matter whether we're widows or not. But you said in your word, support widows indeed. Thank you that our church does, Lord. I pray that our giving here at Worth Baptist Church will enable us to support those who are in need, widows indeed. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your goodness to us. We praise your blessed preaching time to come. Bless Brother Tony. He brings a message. We pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.